This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Rescue crews are combing through the damage left behind by a series of severe flash floods in central Texas. Over 40 people are still missing throughout the Texas Hill Country, and at least 80 people have been confirmed dead. Reagan Brown and his parents were able to escape the floodwaters and save some of their neighbors in the town of Hunt.
They were able to escape up the hill, and they got word of their neighbor being stuck in her attic, so they went over and rendered aid and got her out. She's 92 years old.
More rain is in the forecast for the region for later today, sparking fears of additional flash flooding. President Trump has signed a major disaster declaration. The president is also scheduled to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later today. It comes as Trump has been touting a potential ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas amid the ongoing war in Gaza. Indirect talks between Israel and Hamas have been taking place in Doha, Qatar, in recent days. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Nine Wisconsinites accused of being part of a multi-million-dollar interstate car theft ring have been federally charged. The U.S. Attorney's Office says from 2019 to early 2024, a total of 23 people from six states named in the indictment were involved in the theft of more than 175 high-end vehicles from dealerships, factories, and airports, including Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport. Those charged are also accused of transporting the vehicles across state lines, altering vehicle ID numbers, making fake motor vehicle titles, and selling the stolen cars for money and drugs. All the defendants are charged with conspiracy and face up to 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine if convicted, with some facing additional charges. A former Kenosha teacher accused of grooming a student is heading to jail. 30-year-old Christian Enright was sentenced Wednesday to more than a year in jail with 3 years of probation. Prosecutors said Enright sent multiple Snapchat messages to a 14-year-old student, some with sexual implications. He was fired from his teaching job at the Kenosha School of Technology in May of last year. Enright pleaded guilty in April to a dozen misdemeanor counts of disorderly conduct. The first group of immigrants has arrived at a new detention center deep in the Florida Everglades that officials have dubbed Alligator Alcatraz. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis says the facility will have a capacity of about 3,000 detainees when fully operational. The center was built in 8 days and features more than 200 security cameras, 28,000 plus feet of barbed wire, and 400 security personnel. And the area features alligators, pythons, and other dangerous wildlife. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne.
The Brewers are back in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Dodgers tonight in Milwaukee to kick off a key three-game series. Freddie Peralta, just named to the All-Star game, will start tonight. The Brewers with a 3-1 win yesterday in Miami. Pitcher Brandon Woodruff got the win, holding the Marlins to just one run in six innings. Pat Murphy wasn't sure if Woodruff was ready.
His velo and his other stuff, it didn't indicate like, oh, this guy's going to go six today. But he located it well. And then the second inning, he was better. Third inning, better. Fourth inning, better. Fifth inning, better. It was like, wow. And he said, I'm coming to the end here in between the fifth and the sixth. And he went out in the sixth, and we had guys up in the pen, and it was great.
Woodruff says there's nothing like pitching in the big leagues.
You can't replicate anything that you want to in the minor leagues to get you ready for the big leagues. You just can't. You need to get in this environment. You need to get back out on that major league mound, and that take care of everything.
That's Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get into the low to mid 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible with a low in the mid 60s. Tomorrow, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Shaking out the cobwebs after the long holiday weekend. It's a Monday morning, July 7th, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson's in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is back and will be here as well. And coming up this hour, we'll talk a little bit about podcasts and TV streaming and live music. And we return you to our regularly scheduled trade war already in progress now that we're done talking about Trump's bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. So all that and more. Brandon Woodruff, his triumphant return to the pitching mound for the Milwaukee Brewers. All that and more coming up. But of course, Brittany Merlot is back from the holiday weekend. Hi, from the holiday break. And, you know, with a very pleasant day ahead for a lot of us here. Brittany, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was pretty relaxing. It was nice and comfortable. I kind of liked that rain over the weekend, kind of cooled us down as that front moved through. A little relaxing. How was your weekend?
Well, Parker would have a different opinion on the rain.
It was cooling.
And it was cool. He was actually cold from being soaked in the rain.
I was freezing, Brittany.
He was working a Mallards, Madison Mallards game, weren't you?
Yeah, Mallards game, and then it just downpoured. All like snap your fingers and it was downpouring, and I was dripping wet, and then had to stand outside for like another 2.5 hours.
Oh yeah, that's pretty miserable. I'm sorry about that, Parker.
It's okay.
I'm sure a lot of us got caught though.
Nobody's gonna be talking drought for a little while here.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, we are not. And we've got a beautiful day ahead of us. Honestly, this week looks fantastic. So a high pressure system is in place. It's moved in right now. Plenty of sunshine across the state. There was some patchy fog this morning, but that's even clearing up here. Temperatures up north in the mid 40s, down south in the upper 60s. And today's highs will rise to the upper 70s statewide. Some mid 80s are expected far southwest, and then some upper 60s closer to the Great Lakes. Obviously, you stay much cooler there. Otherwise, we're staying dry today. We do have a low pressure system that moves in tomorrow, so we could hear some rumbles of thunder overnight, maybe some light rain as you wake up tomorrow morning, and then some more storms could spark up tomorrow afternoon. But none of those should be crazy strong or severe or anything like that. But those are expected on Tuesday, and then we dry things out for the rest of the week with another system headed our way in the weekend. But overall, gosh, they're going to be very comfortable temperatures. That humidity is much less. Honestly, it's like San Diego weather.
Ooh. Now, yes, that's high praise right there. That's why I took the top down off the Jeep. I was like, okay, I can dodge, you know, I can avoid running errands when the pop-up stuff hits and just get to enjoy it the rest of the time, because you can't drop the top on the Jeep in the wintertime. or
no, you can't. Basically, I mean, you could.
People not for a good reason.
10
for
months sure. out of the year. Yeah, do not recommend. Right. So I'm going to literally ride this forecast as much as I can. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you in the next hour.
Sounds good.
Always a reminder that you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, where today there's a link to my article on the winners, losers, and liars as part of the Trump budget bill. And also some of the Wisconsin towns that look like they were taken right out of a storybook because of the unique architecture there. So sign up again, upnorthnewswi.com. Quick reminder that on Thursday, our guest will be Congressman Mark Pocan. No doubt we'll have a lot to say there about the budget debate and where we go from here. So again, Congressman Mark Pocan on Thursday. Let's see, from Rob in Tigerton, good morning. Partly cloudy, 58 degrees. I hope my favorite morning people had an awesome 4th of July weekend. I mowed a yard Friday, then watched a full day of McHale's Navy. Wow, that's a deep cut. Channel 11.2 in Green Bay. He watered flowers at Main Street Tigerton, went to Clintonville yesterday, went to wash his car, Molly, in Wittenberg. Let's see, I think he's got a couple of other notes here as well. Yesterday, I saw traffic on Highway 45 busy. Trucks and campers going in both directions from people coming from up north and people going to the Hodag Music Festival in Rhinelander. He says, welcome back to Brittany. And in Tigerton, 1.1 inches of rain Saturday through Sunday morning. He's got mowing jobs in Wittenberg today. The grass is growing fast with all the rain and the humid weather that we've been having lately. No vacation for me. It will be busy mowing lawns, and he will earn his money for a vacation, whereas Kristen took hers this last week. She and Craig did. What was the unique bike ride that you guys did while you were out in the Boston area?
We did the midnight ride of Paul Revere. Wow. We rode from Boston out through Lexington to Concord, and it was, we knew that it was like a historically important ride, obviously, but that was the British are coming, the British are coming path on the 4th of July. That's
nice.
Kind of cool.
And I feel bad for like anybody that lives along there because, I mean, you have to do it, right? You know, if you're living there, here come the tourists again, and they're saying, the British are coming, the British are coming. Like they hear that all the time.
Well, it's a bike path, and right. So many people were using it. We just kept commenting how great it was because it was, part of it was urban, part of it was very rural, but part of it was urban, so people were clearly commuting and there were families out and lots of kids and bikes and strollers. And it reminded me so much of the Fox River Trail or the Capital City Loop, where families have a place to go to be able to get from point A to point B, or just maybe enjoy some of the local natural beauty.
It sounds great. I mean, maybe a few too many miles for my liking, but you know, you and Craig are pros at this by now. 130 miles is a slow weekend for you guys, you know?
Oh my gosh. We did a trail in New Hampshire that went along the presidential mountain range. So there's Mount Washington and Jefferson and Madison. And so there's this rails to trails, and it started off pretty benign, but then it got pretty rustic. We got a few ticks.
Oh, did you? Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't forget your bug spray, friends. Ticks are a big deal.
I have not had that that happen yet, and thank goodness. You just, when you said the presidential range, I had to look it up quick. I'm like, God, did I tell me this was just a dream late last week? No, it wasn't a dream. The New York Times actually had a story about whether there is room to put Donald Trump on Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And I just caused some people to throw up a little in their breakfast, and I'm very sorry about that. But yeah, let's can we keep the presidential range unspoiled, as it were?
All of these things that sound like a joke are not a joke, and that's one of the weirdest things. Yes. Like, what is a caricature when caricatures are real?
That's exactly where we're at. So when you were in that area around the Revolutionary War, you and Parker were talking during the break about podcasts, and that there's a podcast about the revolution that I think it was Parker that was recommending it, or were you to him? I lose track. It was Parker to you, right?
It was me.
Oh, okay.
Because in Boston, I had never been to Boston before. Every time you turn around, there's some sort of historical something that makes you wonder, I know that that's relevant, but I just don't know what it means. So I got curious and decided that I needed to learn about the American Revolution. There is a podcast that is free, and it is called the American Revolution Podcast. So it's easy to find. And it's like bite-sized pieces of history that is presented in a very interesting and conversational way. And he does a really nice job at the end of summing up the purpose of the entire episode. So just in case you zoned out for a minute, which tends to happen, you pull it together.
I'm intrigued. And Parker, you were looking for a podcast to listen to as well. So
yeah,
maybe
I'm excited about
you'll
this.
Be sampling.
I really like Rev War stuff. I'm really excited about this.
Oh, that's great. By the way, you could pod us too. We are a podcast as well as a live radio show. Head over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe to the program. We'd love to have you listening there. If not every day, just catch some of those, you know, back episodes or guests that you might have missed for your podcasting when you're not busy streaming. And in terms of streaming, I mentioned last week finishing the Netflix series Four Seasons, and last night we finished The Residence, which is a murder mystery about the White House, that there was a murder committed in the White House and this quirky detective solves it. And I don't, this will be a very small spoiler, but I have to get this out anyway. In it includes congressional hearings about this murder in the White House. And again, it's a comedy. The chair of the committee is Al Franken.
Oh.
And it was just so nice. It was so refreshing to see him presiding over this hearing, asking questions, being funny in the process, and just missing Al Franken for being so smart and compassionate, but in the category of flawed characters, which of course Al Franken is, but the outrage over somebody's flaws versus the lack of outrage over somebody else's flaws is just absolutely frustrating in this country. And so just wanted to say that to see Al Franken on The Residence, I would recommend that show very highly. I don't know if either one of you two have anything new in the streaming area that you're watching. Not you, Kristen. You actually go outside and play. You ride your bike.
She touches grass.
I did.
She touches grass, yes.
I did start. It's a two-part series, I guess, on Steve Martin. Which I'm not a huge Steve Martin fan.
I've seen that. Yes.
But it's really, so I got through the first part. It's really, really good. It's well done. It really made me appreciate him that much more. Yeah.
And I saw it just as I finished his autobiography. Was that the one? Is that Enter Laughing or not? Anyway, it was written many, many years ago, and I just had never gotten around to it till last year. And it's a super good autobiography. And, you know, he's got a complicated family upbringing as well, as other people do. And it shaped who he is now. And then, yeah, seeing the little documentary afterwards was really, really good. You just realize how really good this guy is and how hard he worked at getting to be really good, you know.
I had no idea how very famous he was because he really peaked in the late 70s and 80s, but he was everywhere. I mean, I remember being a little kid and having the headband with the arrows.
Yes, the arrow through the head, right?
And being like 8 years old and knowing what a wild and crazy guy was.
Right?
So, yeah, it was just a huge part of my childhood, and it really penetrated the culture, American culture. So, yeah, definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I definitely want to recommend that to folks. Let's do a little sports at 7:18 because it's such a happy story to pass along. Brandon Woodruff is back. I mean, Brandon Woodruff hadn't pitched since September 23rd of 2023. Coincidentally, in Miami, where the Brewers were over the weekend when he went back to the pitching mound after shoulder surgery. And what an outing. Perfect through the first inning, through the second inning, six up, six down. In all, he went six innings, so that'd be 18 outs. He only faced 20 batters, two over the minimum, and those were both hits by the same one player. All in all, he had Jackson Churio hitting a home run and driving in all three runs, as the Brewers beat the Miami Marlins on Sunday. Final score was 3-1 to take two out of three there, and to split the road trip between Miami and New York. In Woodruff's six innings, eight strikeouts, no walks. and then the two hits as well. So the Brewers are now at home. They will play the LA Dodgers for this evening, tomorrow evening, and Wednesday afternoon. And then a weekend series at home against the Washington Nationals. And then next week is the All-Star break. So game one of the Brewers-Dodgers series at American Family Field pregame begins at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations. Head over to the website to learn more and catch the Brewers now with Brandon Woodruff back on the mound as they head into the second half of the season. From the heart of America's up north, live on Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Dr. Andy Wright is our guest for this portion of the show, and we're here to discuss The Anxious Generation, the book that we've talked about a little bit on this program prior to that. But wanted to kind of get an overview of this. And
So he lays out why girls are more vulnerable to social media than boys. Now, let's be clear. It's affected boys and girls. Depression and anxiety has increased in both groups, particularly. He identifies that window from 2010 to 2015 when social media was really ramping up, the selfie age, if you will. And it's only increased since that window. He says that in general, and this is based on countless studies of socializing. So one might nitpick, I'm not like that. Okay, fine. But these are population-based. So girls are more vulnerable. They're affected by visual, social comparison, and perfectionism. So the whole idea of the beauty filter, right? And then just you're trying to get to that next level. He even talks about an Olivia Rodrigo song called Jealousy, Jealousy. So I listened to it, and it's a really good song. Kind of lays out the problem and the frustration very well. So that's number one. Number two is for girls, more so than boys, aggression is relational or in relationships, hence the example we gave, where you're kind of sabotaging somebody's friend network. Number three, there's 4 points here. Girls are more open about sharing their emotions or disorders, so that makes them more vulnerable. But it also leads to some curious findings. For example, in Germany, there was an epidemic of teens going to their doctors saying they had Tourette's. And any skilled doctor would know they don't have Tourette's. And it was from an influencer in Germany on TikTok who was just doing these things. And he didn't even have Tourette's, I don't think. And then in the U.S., there was sort of this epidemic of dissociative identity disorder, what we used to call multiple personality disorder. And it was from a TikToker named Asher. And so then all these people thought they had it. So that's an example of if you're more open about emotions, then you can be susceptible to this. And then the final point is girls are more subject to predation and harassment on social media. So anybody can set up an account, fake their identity. So if you have predators, right, they can get on and just start grooming a girl. But, you know, and then ultimately one of the most destructive things that happens is the sending of nude pictures, which is unfortunately not uncommon. And as a society, if a boy does that, not always, sometimes the consequences are devastating, but it's more, oh, he'll get teased. But if a girl does that, it ruins her reputation. And there's been high profile cases of this, of the BBC did some reporting recently about how people's lives are, and for the rest of their life, they're dealing with that trauma from this space. Hmm. So, yeah.
What about from the boy standpoint then, Doc?
Yeah, right? So for the boys, his emphasis is a little different. And again, I want to emphasize, you can have girls in the boy category and boys in the girl category. Let's be clear here. And then you can have people who, you know, don't identify with the gender that have these as well. He talks about sort of the consequences of what's happening to boys, and then I'll get into the boy issues, is we end up with men in their late 20s who are, you know, the cliche is living in their parents' basement. And so in Japan, they actually have a term for that called hikikomori. And that means pulling inward. And these are men in their 20s and 30s who never leave home, and we don't know if they will. In the U.S. and in Britain, they have a term called NEET. And that is an acronym standing for not in education, not in employment, and not in training. So for boys, they're more susceptible to a sort of a video game addiction. Well, there's sort of four levels of video game usage, which I'll mention, and then also pornography. Probably the most staggering statistic, and this may be an underestimate, is one in four teenage boys is consuming, and he distinctly talks about more of the what we would call hardcore pornography, is consuming pornography daily, so 25%. And so that means overall usage is probably more one in three. So it's staggering. What's also happened as we move away from play-based childhood to phone-based childhood is in the past, when girls had adolescence, they always had internalizing issues, depression, anxiety. Those are internalizing disorders, right? A certain percentage going up. Boys in the past would have externalizing disorders, antisocial behavior, you know, putting the fireworks in the frog or, you know, bullying other kids. But they've shifted now since they're not socializing normally. They shifted to more internalizing disorders, increase in anxiety and depression.
At what point, Dr. Wright, you know, do parents come into play? Because obviously, you know, controlling that screen time, but one of the things that I've always thought, too, is to, I don't know if you want to, force is the right word, but to make them be social, like at family gatherings, you know, get away from the stupid game, come out here and talk to people, look them in the eye. But I mean, what's the approach that a parent should take?
Yeah, so forcing rarely works.
Yeah.
Let's be frank, and my wife reminds me of that all the time whenever I want to discipline my children with force. And she's right. She's absolutely right. Before I answer that question, let me back up to sort of the four. He has many recommendations, but he has four key recommendations. And he uses the book. He mentions them at the beginning and the end of the book, and he uses these four. Uses the book to sort of justify these four recommendations. I think he does a good job. Number one is no smartphones before high school age. Number two is no social media before 16 years old. And there's science to back that up. We talked about sort of the vulnerable period, right, of where your brain is. You're about 80% brain developed by your preteen teen years. But that last 20% is your frontal and prefrontal cortex. That's identity, that's decision-making, that's life planning, and so that can and it's socialization, and that can really be damaged. I guess advanced socialization. Obviously, socialization starts with birth or before birth. So number one is no smartphones pre-high school. Number two is no social media pre-16 years old. Number three is phone-free schools, where they're locked not in a bag, but in a locker or in a – what he talks about is sort of a they make bags that are sort of electrically locked, and they can't be opened unless there's a code. And then the fourth recommendation is more unsupervised play. One of his – and this is from The Coddling of the American Mind. One of his principal arguments is we don't expose kids to appropriate dangers in the context of socializing.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitler.
News from the Center, WRCE. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin farmers did their best to manage through the heat and humidity of the 4th of July weekend, but there may still be some expense. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And that expense may stretch beyond the energy bills. Cody Koster, dairy analyst with EverAg, says milk production is definitely going to fluctuate given the temperatures all dairy producers are experiencing.
I think right now it's going to be the upper Midwest. I mean, talking to folks on the West Coast, they've actually had a fantastic start to the summer. They have lower temps than we do right now in parts of Washington, Idaho, and California. Now California is going to heat up into the triple digits this weekend, but they're kind of used to it, right? They're built for it. They've got the infrastructure for it out there. They've got sprinklers, misters, and all that kind of stuff. But the upper Midwest, I believe, is going to be the one that's getting hit the hardest in the foreseeable future, definitely the ones that are getting hit the hardest right now.
Cody Koster, dairy analyst with EverAg in Michigan, says that this heat is going to cost us not only in energy, but also milk production. He said he's been receiving calls from producers that noted they were down 20 to 23 pounds of milk per cow. Markets in overnight electronic trade as we get rolling on a Monday morning. Still not feeling much energy. I've got numbers next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Thursday in Chicago, barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese up a penny at 168.5, while AA butter gained 2.5 to 60.5 per pound. This morning in Chicago, September corn is down 13 cents at 407, with December new crop down 14 cents at 423. August soybeans are down 23 at 1032. November beans are down 24 at 1025. Currently, the September wheat is down 14 at 543. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, 4 cents stronger, currently at 1844 a hundredweight. There's a quick market snapshot on a Monday. I'm PM Yonke.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get into the low to mid 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible with a low in the mid 60s. Tomorrow, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other about what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tomorrow on the program, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area on the new state budget. And in a sec, I'll talk about that as well. The discordant Democrats, the disheartened daycare providers, the exasperated educators, and of course, everybody waiting to hear if it'll be a case of two-term Tony or three. Will he run for re-election or not? Dan Schaefer clearly has some feelings about this, re-upping his column again on why he believes Governor Evers should not run for a third term. And there are some Democrats who feel like the governor did not expend enough political capital in this budget process. We'll see if we agree or disagree when we talk to Dan tomorrow, and I'll give a little preview coming up here in a couple of moments. First on the text line, talking about the Brewers playing the Dodgers this weekend. I'm kind of embarrassed to say I have been a baseball fan all my life, Parker. And I guess I just never thought about how the LA Dodgers got their name. Obviously, back from their time in Brooklyn when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. Yeah. And leave it to Jim in Brookfield, comes up on the text line and says, hello, Pat. I just learned from my baseball encyclopedia nephew over the 4th that the LA Dodgers got their name in Brooklyn from dodging trolley cars.
Yeah.
They were Dodgers that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the most earth-shaking thing, but it's nice to know that now in my 60s, I can go, oh, today I learned.
Yeah, the more you know.
The more you know.
I didn't know that, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. I have to think maybe I heard it at one point and it just didn't sink in.
I'm sure. But, yeah. That's one of those things that you definitely hear once and go, cool.
But then when they change cities, it's like, okay, so they come to Los Angeles. Yeah, I don't know what LA had for a trolley system. It's kind of like when the New Orleans Lakers Jazz moved to Utah and became the Utah Jazz. Like,
yeah.
What?
Or like
what?
The Lakers when they're in Minnesota and then they moved to LA.
Yeah, the Lakers leaving Minneapolis. Right. I mean, at least when the Hartford Whalers hockey team went to Carolina, they changed it to the Carolina Hurricane.
Yeah.
That makes a little bit more sense. So,
that's true. Yeah. I'm into that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things I wanted to get into as well, we'll come back to the state budget in a moment, but first back over to the federal side of things because, well, essentially we now return you to your regularly scheduled trade war already in progress because you might recall that Wednesday was a deadline given back in April by President Donald Trump to have America's trading partners, friend and foe alike, come to him and reach deals, or he was going to impose these strict tariffs that he said were going to bring manufacturing back to our shores. So he announced these steep tariffs. The markets plunged. He said, well, I'm going to give it 90 days. He was greeted as doing everybody some kind of a favor for putting the gun down. And now we're coming up on the 90 days where at last check, there are concepts of a plan. There are concepts of a trade deal with the UK and Vietnam. And I believe that's it. I think that's the list. I'm not expecting 88 more countries
to work out deals. And so the headline in the New York Times says Trump keeps foreign countries on edge as tariff deadline nears. The president is again threatening higher tariff rates on a dozen foreign nations as a deadline elapses this week for making trade deals. Well, again, it's putting all of the, it's putting all the credit on Trump. Like, he's the one keeping foreign countries on edge. It's Trump introducing chaos. That's what he's doing. He's not keeping people on edge. He is a threat to the global economy. I mean, we've already seen how the American recovery, which was the best in the world post-pandemic, has come to a screeching halt. The economy grew smaller in the last quarter, in the last quarterly report. And if it grew smaller in this next quarterly report, that's the definition of a recession, that we may be in a recession right now, thanks to the economic uncertainty that Donald Trump put in, all of the many thousands upon thousands of layoffs of government workers, the layoffs that resulted from the uncertainty of these trade deals. And yet here everybody is watching to see what Trump will do this week. And look, either he's going to, again, make up something like, out of the goodness of my heart, I'm going to extend this for another 6 months or something, and people are going to somehow give him credit for it. Or he's going to impose these steep tariffs, and we're going to find a lot of emptier shelves later this year when people are going Christmas shopping, for example. Or he backs down entirely and says that he made his point because we want to see more taco memes. Trump always chickens out. And again, I thought enough people saw through this in his first go-round in office, that he's all bluster until he's not. And then when he actually does carry through on something, it is almost always harmful. I mean, unless you're a wealthy person who's about to get immense tax breaks at the expense of everybody else, there's not much else you can point to say that Donald Trump did this thing right economically that benefited middle-class Americans. It's just not there. The people who like him like the bluster. They like the attitude. They like that he hates the same people that they hate, or at least they can all blame the same people. But not everybody, of course, is amused by this, and that's why Elon Musk, who's no longer Trump's bestie, is talking about starting a new third party. We'll talk about that in the third hour of the program coming up here. But to keep things on the federal and the state budget bills, let's come back to the state one for a moment, because as I mentioned, Dan Schaefer and other commenters on Facebook have expressed their displeasure with what the state budget bill ultimately did and how it ultimately came down. Now, again, as a refresher, the budget will cut taxes by $1.3 billion. It will spend hundreds of millions on building projects at the UW system. It does expand some Medicaid funding for now because, again, the Trump bill will eventually restrict it. Increases funding for special education. It funds some new child care programs, but does not provide nearly the direct support to daycare providers that they would like. There's an expansion of the second lowest tax bracket. There's the exemption of some retirement income from taxation, eliminates the residential utility sales tax, and creates a film tax credit. It will cost a little bit more to get a driver's license, buy license plates, or title a vehicle. And in his latest column, Dan Schaefer asks if it was all enough. Did Evers and Democrats press hard enough for their newfound leverage? And that leverage came because there were a handful of Republicans who had already said they were not going to support what the Joint Finance Committee was coming up with because they wanted deeper cuts. And we'll never know how they would have voted because we know on the federal side, Ron Johnson caved. Ron Johnson said this thing is going to drive the debt too high. But then he caved and went along with it anyway. And we'll never know if those two or three state senators would have done the same thing, because instead, legislative Republicans turned to state Senate Democrats and negotiated with them for things that would attract enough Democratic votes to pass a budget. Now, I'm going to admit, I'm still a little surprised that they did that. I was pretty well convinced that Republicans were going to choose having no state budget because there wasn't enough of a downside for them. You see, in Wisconsin, state government doesn't shut down if there's no budget. You know, the previous budget just plods along. You can't have that at the federal level. At the federal level, there is a government shutdown. And Republicans have never come out ahead after a government shutdown. To them, the party of small government nowadays means the party of no government. And the American people don't want that. They still want a basic level of services. We can disagree on whether they're spending too much on this or that, but you don't cut out all services entirely in the form of a government shutdown. And Republicans have had to learn that the hard way at the federal level. But at the state level, I didn't see nearly the level of political risk for Republicans. I mean, even if this bill hadn't passed last week, yeah, there would not be $1.3 billion in tax cuts. But that money would still be sitting there in surplus and would sit there until after next year's gubernatorial election, when Republicans might have a Republican governor and a Republican legislature, and they could give $3 or $4 billion back in tax cuts and not make any investments in schools, the UW system, infrastructure, the environment, healthcare, you name it. But they did make it a bipartisan matter with Governor Evers. They did negotiate details for increases in spending in some areas, like special education. It's just that in the end, based on what I'm seeing over the weekend, there are plenty of people, from progressive activists to childcare providers to Democratic politicians, who believe not nearly enough was done, and there should have been either a veto of the bill or just no vote at all. And again, just the last budget would carry over. And so I'll be curious, talking to those folks this week, what they saw as the potential upside to that. The potential upside of having no budget at all, rather than a budget that had some good things, but not all of the things that they wanted. And how does that affect Governor Evers' decision on whether to run for a third term? Does he hear all of this discord? Does he hear the criticism and believe that it would be best if he passed the torch to somebody else? Does he instead feel like he actually looks like the centrist in the room, and that makes him the strongest candidate for being elected to a third term next year? If Tony Evers decides to run for a third term, how many Democrats, how many progressive activists out there will do the bare minimum of effort because they're not happy with this budget, and they don't feel like he fought hard enough for it? And if that happens and a Republican wins the governor's race next year, who gets the blame? Is it Tony Evers for running, or is it the people that could only follow him or support him half-heartedly? Tom in Hartford on the text line says very simply, Evers should run. And we had that as a question of the week in our Sunday newsletter a couple weeks back, you know, whether Evers should run for another term or not. And as I noted in the follow-up article, those were some of the most passionate answers we've ever received to a question to our audience on both sides. Adamant that Tony Evers is far and away the best hope for Democrats, has the best record, has done the most for Democrats, and others who say he's done too little, that he needs to, again, pass the torch, that we need somebody who's more of a fighter. Even if that fight does or doesn't lead to the progress that you want, I don't know. Do some people just want to fight for the sake of a fight, or because they know it can be productive? These are the things that I'm very curious to talk to people about this week and in all of the time leading up to and after Governor Evers' decision to run for a third term or not. So for more about that, You're going to want to tune into tomorrow's conversation with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. We will get into it during our 8:30 half hour tomorrow. A local break is next for some of you. The rest will come back here live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the Recombobulation Area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning. Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark, is it good to search for information about funerals and burials on the websites?
See, it is a little bit. So the internet can be a valuable tool. It's like anything else. There's information in there. A lot of it's good information. There's a lot of information in there that really is not a good source of information for you to actually know when it comes to funerals, death, what the legal things are. So we encourage people to look up potentially generic things along the lines of, you know, what is my Social Security office's phone number? So that comes into play with funerals. We have to notify Social Security. The funeral home takes care of that. But you might also have to talk to them. How do I get a hold of my local veteran service officer? That information's there. So if we stick with the veteran service officer, you know, you may read online that you're eligible for this benefit and this benefit and this benefit. Well, the internet says it's true, so it must be true. But then if you go in and you sit down with Karen and Hugo here in Richland County, that may or may not be your case. Because when you were in the military, how long were you in? Were you injured? Is there a disability involved in it? So there's different benefits that different veterans are eligible for depending on how long they've been in. So it's a good resource to kind of give you a baseline, but then we encourage people to use that and to talk to their local representatives, the Veterans Service Office. If you call the funeral home, we'd be more than happy to give you some information of, hey, I saw this on the internet. Well, I want to do X, Y, and Z. Well, the information that may be out there could have been written by anybody, but for the most part, funerals have to do with state to state. So with the rules and regulations, what you might be reading about, maybe of an article written in Colorado, which in the state of Wisconsin may say that that is legal, that is not legal, it is allowed. So if you call the funeral home, we can help you out with what is actually an option in our area. So if you just want some general information, great way to go. But if you need more specific information, we really encourage you to reach out to your local resources. You know, your veteran service officers, your cemeteries. You know, how do you get a hold of cemeteries? A lot of them are not online, but you might be able to go on there and see your family stones, what's there, but not necessarily what you own. So we always encourage people to, if you want to do a little research online ahead of time, that's great. But also remember to contact your local individuals that can really help you out with that. A big one that comes into play is, you know, what does your religious background have to do with your burial rites? Does your faith have anything to do with that? We run into this all the time. The most common one out in our area would be for Catholics. We still have Catholics that say, I'm Catholic, I cannot be cremated. It's against the rules of the church. It's actually not against the rules of the church. The Catholic Church does not have an opposition to a cremation. They do have rules of things they would like to have happen, but they're not opposed to it. But if you go online, it might tell you, well, you are not allowed to do X, Y, and Z. That's not necessarily true. So that's one of those things where you can get a little information, talk to your local pastor, talk to someone in the diocese, talk to somebody that works at your church that actually has knowledge of it, or you can always call the funeral home and we can kind of help direct you of, you know, what are Muslims allowed to do? What are Baptists? How about Lutherans or non-denominational? Or what if you necessarily don't have a religious belief? What are some things you are allowed to do or not?
They still have Irish wakes, the old Irish Catholic wakes, or is that something that's in the past?
It's really something of the past. For the most part, if you look at wakes and visitations and things like that, people talk about them. But even if you look at how things have changed over the course of time, less and less people are even having a visitation at night. So everything's on one day. So we're not staying awake with the body. So awake, like a traditional sense would be, you are awake with an individual over the course of a night. So very few people do that. Occasionally we'll have somebody that will say, hey, can I have that individual brought to my house, you know, so we can have a private family wake for ourselves. Those are situations that we can work through individual to individual, depending on the situation of the individual that died, your home, the arrangements, you know, are there rules or really reasons that you may not want to do that? So some of these things still could exist, but someone would have to have the desire to want to have it. So you can see these good stories online of so-and-so did this, they tried this, which, you know, is it reality? It's the internet, so potentially there is a sliver of truth in there, but also call your local individuals and they can help you out with things that are specific to your region, to the rules and laws of your area.
Today's Pratt Chat has been sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. For answers to the questions you have, call the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service at 608-647-4808 or visit prattfuneralservice.com.
Come visit the Aikie School Museum Sundays, June through September, from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. See the history and all of the one-room school relics that are available for you. It's located midway between Twin Bluffs and Highway 60. come visit us this summer.
Lost your edge? Affordable Sharpening in Richland Center sharpens knives, scissors, kitchen equipment, saw blades, drill bits, chainsaw chains, lawnmower blades, and all garden tools. We are open Thursday through Saturday, noon to 4 p.m. We are located at 103 South Central Avenue, number 10, in Nicos Plaza. Call 608-604-0230 for more information.
Community First Bank is your bank for business. Their business bankers have the financial know-how to get you on the path to a bright future. From business checking to loans, online banking to treasury services, CFB's business banking solutions create more convenience, save more money, and protect you from fraud. Get more from your business banking relationship. Visit Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henriks.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Fast-moving floodwaters in Texas over the weekend are responsible for at least 80 deaths, according to emergency officials there, and many are still missing. ABC's Matt Gutman is in Kerrville, Texas.
Rescuers growing desperate to find the missing and recover those swept away by the historic flash floods that left over 40 missing. In the pre-dawn hours of July 4th, waters rising 26 feet in less than an hour, many still asleep. The ground dried by drought acted like concrete, sending the water rushing straight into river basins.
More rain is in the forecast for later today. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be in Washington this evening, set for a meeting with President Trump at the White House. The two leaders are expected to discuss a potential ceasefire proposal amid Israel's ongoing war in Gaza. This will also mark the first time Trump and Netanyahu have met since the U.S. struck three of Iran's nuclear facilities. This is ABC.